This is Mouth Media Network. Amplify and connect.
Hi, my name is Melissa Finney. I'm the Director of Client Partnerships for CPG at Spotify. And what I love about beauty is that it's transformative. I'm wearing a red lip for an audience that can't even see me, and it feels great.
So how often do you listen to music? To podcasts? Well, obviously you're listening to one now, but audio is the theater of the mind, according to our guest. And it's also a massive opportunity for brands to reach and engage loyal audiences. Coming up, you'll hear how brands can leverage a virtually untapped arsenal to reach consumers in a new and innovative way on one of the most prolific audio platforms out there, Spotify. Spotify's Director of Client Partnerships for CPG will share how social media is a filter, but music is a mirror, offering a lens into psychographic insights which might inspire you to rethink your next marketing campaign.
From New York City, you're listening to Beauty is Your Business, covering the intersection of innovation and business in the beauty industry.
Welcome to Beauty is Your Business. This is Karen Moon, and I'm joined with my amazing co-host, Abby Wallach.
Great to be here.
And we're here with Melissa Finney today from Spotify. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Hi, ladies. Thank you for having me.
So excited to have you here today. You know, many of us know Spotify as consumers and listeners and know that really well. I think what's really exciting is to talk about what the opportunities are for brands. You know, many of the guests on our show are always looking at innovative ways to reach their target consumer. So would love to hear more about the partnerships role and what the opportunities and the missions are.
Thank you so much for that question. You know, so many people use Spotify, but there are many people who are premium and forget that actually the large majority of the United States is on the free tier. And as a result, it is ad supported because Spotify really wants to make sure that our artists are able to benefit from the art that they create. So we have an entire free tier that has advertising and that is available for brands. So we're really trying to make sure that we are giving brands the opportunity to reach this really vast audience when they might not have otherwise had the opportunity.
Amazing. And you know, I think what's so interesting about that is the music piece of it. When you think about an ad on, when you're just using your voice and you don't have the visuals, like what are some of the takeaways or best practices you've seen that work well? Because, you know, I think I've heard some stats around ads where the recall rate is higher and it's actually more effective. I'm just curious what insights you can share on that.
Right. I think that a lot of people forget about that there's a huge theater of the mind and there's so many opportunities that you can do with voice, and it's so much cheaper than video. So I think it's a really great opportunity that a lot of advertisers and brands are just now kind of rediscovering. Audio is having a renaissance. It's time for it. And we're here to help them and teach them through the process.
Can you share some of the case studies and things that you've done recently with some of the brands, specifically in beauty, that might spark some ideas and give inspiration to the audience that's listening?
Of course. So what's really great about beauty is there's such a kind of seamless partnership between music and beauty anyway. There's so many beauty brands that are reaching out to brand ambassadors in the music field. So it's, and at Spotify, we have so much data on these artists. So it's very easy for us to reach super fans and just fans of these artists, whether they are in market with a new album or not. So we have worked with L'Oreal numerous times, specifically on a campaign featuring Camila Cabello in order to reach her super fans. And we also allowed Camila to take over a playlist on Spotify and curate it specifically for her fans and have that sponsored by L'Oreal. So there's all these different things that we can do. The other thing that we have been able to do is we have been able to tell brands exactly what their consumers are listening to, not just the genres, but the micro genres, which is really where it gets really interesting. I mean, it's nothing to know that your consumers listen to hip hop. Everyone listens to hip hop. It's the number one genre in the world right now. But it gets really, really interesting to understand that your users listen to Vapor Trap, which I didn't even know what that was. That's like Travis Scott and that type of rappers, which are really, really huge right now. And once you know
that, I have to Google that.
Yes. Yes, absolutely. Well, if you know Kylie Jenner, then you know Travis Scott. Once you get that information, there's so much cool things you can do with it. You can either target that genre or you can redo your creative so that it is more appealing to the consumers that you want. So we've done that. We work with beauty brands in a variety of ways. We've worked with so many, and I think many of them come to us because they have these pre-existing relationships with artists that they want to leverage. We're happy to do that. We have tons of data on fans and creators and great ways to work with them. But that's really just the tip of the iceberg. So we can help you work with the artists so that they can create playlists that can be promoted on your owned and operated channels, on social networks, whatever you want. But we can also create playlist QR codes that could be used completely offline. We've even had fragrance advertisers print those QR codes and put them on their blotters and hand them out at events. We've had those fragrance advertisers say, you know, here's the blotter, here's what we smell like. And when you flip it over, here's what we sound like, so that we can really give, you know, a full 360 experience for that brand. We've done sweepstakes with beauty advertisers and allowed them to use the brand on pack so that their consumers can get Spotify premium codes. We have given them access to talent and influencers if they didn't have pre-existing relationships. And then we can also help the talent record and annotate their playlist so that they can really storytell throughout all of the music that they are sharing. We've even allowed those artists to take over pre-existing playlists so that you're not just creating an audience from scratch, but you're leveraging the millions and millions of Spotify users who are already following playlists that are really, really popular. And like I said, finally, we have tons of data to help you reach the fans of the artists, whether those artists are in market with a song or not. And finally, we've even had brands launch original songs on the platform. So, you know, we're really excited to work with beauty brands. We've worked with everyone from Dove to Garnier, different fragrances at Coty, Sephora, Ulta, L'Oreal, Maybelline, Revlon. It goes on and on. We're so excited. I mean, when I think about what we really want to do next, you know, when we're in little team meetings, we really think about how beauty has been leveraging TikTok, and that we think that there's so many cool things that we might be able to do through a partnership with a beauty brand and TikTok. We haven't done it yet. We want to. Sounds really cool to us. When brands come to Spotify with their partnerships, sometimes they are creators and artists, so like in the traditional sense, a la a Kelly Rowland or a Camila Cabello. But sometimes they're DJs, especially when the brands are trying to reach men. So absolutely, we absolutely work with DJs. We've worked with Steve Aoki. We've worked with Kygo, and they have curated playlists, but they've also created original music. One of the things that we did with Steve Aoki is we allowed our users to create custom playlists based around what type of workouts they wanted. If they wanted like a hit high energy workout, if it was part of the cool down, he would create custom beats and therefore customized songs uniquely for them to get them through their workout. And then you would have personalized messages from the brands directly from the DJ. So there's all sorts of things that we can do along with allowing the brands to have personalized kind of Spotify experiences at some of those events.
In regards to the actual programming per se, is it more, yeah. Well, it can't be video. It's not video. It's voiceover, right?
No, there's absolutely video product. Because Spotify is an in-demand platform, meaning you're able to control what music you listen to. I can fast forward, I can pick this artist, I can pick this playlist. It means that you are constantly interacting with your screen, and that interaction lends itself to a video experience. So when you do that, and because it's an app, we know when the screen is in view, and what we say internally is when the screen is lit up. And when it's lit up, we serve video ads. And when it's not, we serve audio. So it's the best of both worlds for our advertisers. And while the video is skippable, the audio is not. And we have really, really great view through rates for our video to really ensure that people are getting the most from their experience.
When you create a campaign for a brand, you're thinking about the audience, but are you also able to share with the brand the deeper intelligence on the consumer who's listening, like the data points, not just about music, but is there other information that you're sharing? Or I'm just curious. Yeah. I don't know. It's interesting to me.
Yes, and we want to share it. You know, I have to be honest, though, there's a lot of times we share it and the brands don't use it. Many times, and this is actually not about beauty, but I've had a financial advertiser come to us and say, hey, we want to reach college students, so we really want to target One Direction listeners. And we were like, well, it's not 2016 and they're not 10, so I don't know if you really want to do that. We really want to make sure that you have the information to reach your user, whether it's on Spotify or not. So absolutely, we give as much information as we possibly can. Again, we're going to tell you the time of day they're listening, what device they are using, when you can reach them, what moments they're in. Is it the getting ready moment? Is it the commute moment? Is it the focus or study moment? And then we're also going to tell you, since we measure everything about the musical experience, we even attribute them to a mindset. So again, are they defiant? Are they empowered? Are they chill? All of those things that we have that for our advertisers, and we can provide it prior to running on Spotify.
I'm so interested in knowing mine.
That's yeah, how do you know? How do you know what they're doing? Are they telling you? Is it the?
They are telling. Yes, they are telling us, because we have over 3 billion playlists, and you don't name your jazz playlist jazz. It's called dinner.
Your playlist
is called working out. Your R&B playlist is called breakup. We actually had one beauty advertiser come to us with this really interesting insight that people change their hair color when they break up. Ooh. Well, you know what? I have 60,000 breakup playlists to give you.
That's amazing.
So there's so many cool things that we can do and really use this user data in a respectful way to our users, but in a helpful way to our advertisers. So it's really cool.
That's so interesting, because, you know, like music and, you know, podcasts and, you know, just like the audio content format is such a fabric of how we live our day-to-day lives. I feel like
absolutely.
I'm listening to something, you know. So in addition to running the partnerships at Spotify, I noticed you're also, you know, a guest lecturer at NYU. And, you know, I'm so curious on the, you know, and your career has been in, you know, digital content. So, you know, I'm assuming you're just kind of at the cutting edge of everything. My question for you is, oftentimes, as we look at the digital revolution, it's always the consumer leading how content consumption has evolved, you know, mm-hmm. whether it's social media or, you know, and then B2B kind of follows that, right?
Yep.
So as we look at the rise of the podcast market, mm-hmm. you know, and I know Spotify's in that market, you know, I'm, you know, just from sheer numbers alone, you know, it's projected to be a $500 million market, but it's more than tripled in the last 5 years. Like, are there interesting opportunities there? Like, where do you see content headed? And is there like a kind of innovative way that brands can reach their audience, like end consumer, in a different way?
I think that podcasts are such an awesome opportunity and still so new, and we're all figuring it out together. It's absolutely the wild, wild west. And for a brand that is willing to take that journey with us and let's test and learn, it's going to be great. I think there's so many things that are awesome about it. The first thing is that people really have a connection with these hosts. And since the hosts are talking about it in a way that is really authentic to them, it has the effect of an influencer. So it's a really great opportunity. I also think that, you know, especially with beauty, beauty is really interested in beauty tutorials. I think over 80% of the videos available digitally on beauty right now are tutorials. It strikes me as odd as why there's not more audio tutorials. There's so many really cool things that can happen in audio and in podcasts that are still untapped. So it'll be really cool to see where that is. And just as you said, you know, the consumer completely leads the way. In the last few weeks, you know, we've all been staying home more. Connected device usage is skyrocketing through the roof. And also, we're now listening with our families more. And so what we have listened to has changed. So there's a lot more entertainment, a lot more education and family-friendly content. And so you're going to see those type of shows rise during this time. And it might not be as much true crime, although true crime is so popular. So, you know, it's really cool to see what the consumer tells us things. And the other thing that we're noticing, right, is that with the music they're listening to, it's a lot more chill, a lot more down tempo. And so we were thinking, wow, they're using music to soothe themselves. And we were looking at what they were listening to podcasts too. So we released something called the Daily Wellness Playlist, which is a personalized playlist of podcasts and music that are dedicated to your well-being, which I think in this time we really need more than ever.
Oh, I love that. That's terrific.
Up next, you'll hear a case study on how Spotify leveraged the benefits of its own consumer insights to design a creative award-winning campaign.
Hi, I'm Mark Rako, CEO of Mouth Media Network. All of us know that right now, more than ever, communication is so crucial to your leadership, to keeping your business in motion, to keeping people safe and delivering on promises. It can bring calm, it can inform and inspire, and it can offer hope. Getting urgent, crucial messaging to employees, strategic partners, and your consumer community matters. The tone and delivery of your message can make all the difference. The team at Mouth Media is standing with you. So we've put together a solution for this need, which can be deployed quickly and easily, and which we've designed to be very cost-effective in light of economics we're all facing now. Please reach out to me directly through LinkedIn, or you can email podcast@mouthmedianetwork.com. And I'll make sure that our team helps in any way we can. Thank you, and stay healthy and safe.
You know, Spotify is not only its own, it's obviously the platform, but it's also itself as a brand. So I've got to think that they have the most creative ways of getting in touch with our listeners, even just to advertise themselves. Like, what are some cool ways that brands can learn from what you guys do?
Well, I'll tell you two things that I think are really awesome. The first is back in 2016, we used our data in a really cool out-of-home campaign that ended up winning the Cannes Lion and also had Spotify as best brand of the year. And what we did was we created 160 different out-of-home messaging that were localized to each market that were a little something like this. Hey, Williamsburg, you think you're so cool? Well, then why do you stream more Justin Bieber than any other neighborhood? And so that was kind of something that we did all over the place. They were incredibly popular. But the second thing that I really want to tell you about, which is very cool, is at the end of the year in December, we give our users a really cool gift called Wrapped, which is all the data that we have kind of collected on you throughout the year. How many minutes you've streamed Spotify, what your top artist was of the year. This year, we even told you that you seem to really like Virgos. And here's a complete playlist of all the things you had on repeat. And here's a playlist of all the things that you love just in the summer. And here's another play, like it just there. We're really trying to use our data to give our users the very best possible experience. So I just think that that's really cool. And I really think that brands should be using our data to be giving something back to their users, because it's amazing how much the users like it and care and want something that's specifically for them. And one way I'll tell you, though, that brands are doing that is we create customized experiences. So one of the things that a non-beauty advertiser has done that I thought was really awesome is we worked with Target, who really wanted to make a big splash right before Black Friday. And so we created something called the Turkey Timer, and you would enter in the weight of your turkey, let's call it 4 pounds, and Spotify would automatically create a playlist for you based on the time it would take to cook that turkey in the songs that you would love the most to listen to it. So you would know your turkey was done when your playlist was up. So we do cool things like that. For people who are training for the marathon, we create customized marathon playlists that are not just based on what you want to listen to, but that are to your beats per minute based on your training cycle. I mean, we can really, really get detailed and get in there. And I really would love to leverage that sort of stuff for brands.
It's so cool. It seems like such an untapped opportunity, you know, like everyone's thinking Instagram or whatever, but like people are listening to music or podcasts like all the time.
It's really, we get why beauty loves, Instagram and, YouTube. It makes perfect sense. You know, maybe not so much with sticking to print so hard, but you know, to each his own, no problem. What we do think about though is that obviously digital is on the decline. That digital is on the rise and audio is on the rise as well. But most importantly, Spotify is everywhere their users are, right? So we're following them the entire day, and most people are on for at least 2.5 hours a day. And it's because we're everywhere. So we're on the desktop, we're on the tablet, we're on mobile, blah, 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 and we're in cars. But did you know Spotify is integrated with Tinder? I mean, there is no place we aren't. And so there's so many cool ways to talk about music and compatibility and what the relationships people have with their music and what their music says about who they are.
I have a question about the music and the artist and the, like the UGC. Are you doing things with Spotify more programming oriented where it's like a show per se, where you're curating content and programming from your audiences?
Yes. So if I'm hearing you right, are you asking me that based on what the consumers want, we then program to fit those needs?
Well, not exactly. I'm really thinking more about, you know, I was thinking equating it to television and how, you know, the voice has become so popular and the talent shows. Mm-hmm. And I'm just thinking and I'm wondering and questioning, is Spotify looking at this huge, huge audience as an opportunity to create programming shows, so to speak, to put on your network? Because you are a network now, even though you're music, yeah. You're a network. My background's media and entertainment.
Yeah. It's an interesting question. I mean, especially when it comes to podcasts. So we've had so many really huge acquisitions in the last year or so. So you might know that we bought The Ringer, which is a Bill Simmons podcasting network, which people think of as sports, but is much more lifestyle. And we bought Gimlet, but a lesser known acquisition was that we bought Anchor, which is a podcasting platform, and 50% of all new podcasts are created on Anchor. Mm. I think of it as the WordPress of podcasts. So yes, we want to give a voice to new voices, whether they be music or not. And a program that I love about Spotify is we realized that the majority of podcast hosts are actually white men. And we saw that there was a need for new voices and people that wanted to and deserved to be heard. And so what we did was we created a podcasting clinic where we would pick 10 users, teach them how to podcast, kind of do a podcasting workshop, give them all the tools that they would need, as well as mentorship and guidance, and then choose the top podcasts to then be on Spotify. So we thought, you know, that was a great idea until we got 18,000 applicants.
Wow. That's like how YouTube started.
That's so cool, though.
So we see that, you know, there is absolutely room for people to be heard, whether it be music or not.
Could be an interesting partnership with Mouth Media Networks. They have a lot of great podcasts.
You know, there's the people and the veterans have been doing it for a long time. And then now it's almost like a new form of content creation. So like in social media, you know, like it, just the creator, like we are in the era of the creator, and it seems like, you know, doing a podcast, whether you're an entrepreneur or a business or something, it's like kind of like the new, like native form of messaging or a sharing voice. And so I'm seeing so many people launch new podcasts, and I wonder if it's just like a different way to be creative and kind of share, you know?
I think so. I think it's not just a different way to be creative. It's a way to, for it to be an outlet. I think of podcasts like magazines years ago when I first started in media, oh my goodness, 20 years ago. There's something for every single hobby and trade and interest. And now there's the same thing for podcasts. We have over 1 million podcasts on the platform, which is crazy to me, especially like I heard that Netflix has something like 2,000 shows and we have 1 million.
So, you know, what's really interesting to me, how do you find things with 1 million? So is there going to be a technology that you can plug? I mean, I know I use Spotify all the time. I love it. But I'm curious, right, as the world gets bigger and everybody's producing some kind of content, everybody and anybody, age, it doesn't even matter anymore, which is kind of hilarious. And it's kind of great, right? Yes. It really is, because TikTok is, you know, just so much fun. So I think there's an opportunity for all of these platforms to emerge and evolve. But how do you envision curating and separating? Because, you know, like originally from my previous career, I was one of YouTube's first partners. I produced professional content for YouTube. I was their first fashion and beauty partner. And I remember the model back then, and it's changed completely. And really where they've had the most success is with their user-generated content, right? That's where they're selling their advertising. So I'm curious, is Spotify, well, we should have a bigger conversation about this, but is Spotify, you know, going to become sort of this network, so to speak? Because in some respects, you really are like a Netflix or an Amazon Prime. You're just audio, right? So what is, I don't know. And how are you going to find stuff? Because it's so hard to find stuff, and there's great stuff out there. You just don't know how to get to it.
I have to say that is a question we get every single day, not from brands, but from brands as consumers. You know, they kind of pull us aside and say, well, how do I know what the next great podcast is? And those sort of things. Curation and discovery are huge tenets for Spotify. We definitely want to be your place for discovery. People are discovering new artists all the time on Spotify, and we want that to be the same for podcasts. So the first thing is there's something that just launched called Podcast Playlists, where the podcasts are actually grouped, so you can discover new podcasts just based on any group that you might want, whether it be, you know, like this one is all news, this one's all true crime, this is all good vibes and like TED Talk sort of stuff. All of it's already grouped for you. And based on your listener data, then we feed you podcasts that you might like, which is what we've been doing for years anyway. So, you know, you might be familiar with Discover Weekly, which is our weekly playlist that we deliver to each of our users every single Monday, which is music that we think that they would love based on what they listen to. So we're going to do the same thing with podcasts. And we're going to take the data from your music listening and let that inform our podcast decisions as well, which will be really cool.
And it's a format that's been around, or if you all go all the way back to radio, but at the same time, there's so much opportunity to think differently. Yes. You know, and, you know, if I think about just advertising in general, how it's moved to like, you know, content marketing on the B2B side or native ads, you know, and it's like in audio, I just wonder like what that looks like, or, you know, like what hasn't been done, you know, it's kind of cool. Or, you know, Abby, to your earlier point, like how do we look at multi-channel, like integrated marketing?
Yeah, it's a very interesting conversation, especially now that we're all home and in quarantine. You know, we are on all day, all night. I mean, I don't know. I don't even want to look at my numbers on my phone. My husband's going to kill me. But, you know, we are such a connected world, and technology is at every touch point in everything we do all day long. I mean, honestly, music has gotten me through this, dance parties, DJs. I mean, it's really been unbelievable because we all want to feel, it's that emotional connection, right? We can't be with people, so we want to feel connected, and dance is one of the great, you know, and music is one of the greatest ways to feel connected to people. I'd love to know a little bit more about, you've shared that you acquired some different businesses. What were your interests in those businesses to help enhance the Spotify business model and platform?
The majority of our acquisitions in the last year have been podcast focused. We're just really, podcast is a huge bet for Spotify. We think of ourselves as the leader in audio, and audio is not just relegated to music. That is education, that is podcasts. You know, a huge portion of radio is talk radio. And so we'd be missing a huge market if we didn't think about podcasts. So like I said, we've acquired Ringer and Gimlet and Anchor and even Parcast. Parcast is a women's focused podcasting network that is focused on true crime and other lifestyle content.
Interesting. So, you know, building upon that, what do you think are interesting ways that brands can, like, how can brands think about podcasts in a way they haven't thought of before?
One, they can just think of them, but also they are an ingredient in the recipe. I don't think that they should be the whole thing. Podcasts are really hot right now, and we get a lot of calls about them, and that is awesome. But I think we need to keep everything in perspective. Only 1% of podcasts have over 50,000 listeners. And so we really want to make sure that not just that we're giving you this awesome, we're giving our advertisers an awesome experience, but they still need scale. And so it's just it should be a piece of their overall connection with the audience and a piece of the plan. And especially, you know, as you were saying, everything has changed, and we really want to make sure that we're giving them access to all of it so they can target gaming devices, they can target connected devices, but also attention is so fragmented right now. And where attention is a lot of times behind a paywall and you can't even reach it. So we want to give advertisers a place where they can reach their audience at scale. And podcasts are only going to be a portion of that.
I think the Tinder thing is interesting. I wonder if like the Spotify playlist goes into their algorithms or something.
You get to choose people based on your music compatibility. So when you when you're on Tinder, it's going to ask you if you want to integrate Spotify, and it's going to show your playlist so that when you're evaluating a potential suitor, you can say, you know, oh, I love that he's a Democrat, but I really hate that he loves Kanye. So
on that Tinder, is so funny. That's
so amazing. It's really cool.
In terms of advertising, does it work the same way with Spotify that it does with typical media agencies when a brand is seeking advertising placement? Is it can you share what your model is and how you find brands to participate and advertise on Spotify?
Sure. It's completely typical to any other publisher or platform. So we have an entire team dedicated to sales. We have two teams, actually, one that is vertically focused and the other, which is a little bit more regionally committed or focused. And we go to advertising agencies and we go directly to clients and we talk to them about data and opportunities and tentpoles and such. And you go from there.
Is there an opportunity or are you guys thinking about like a more self-service platform like Facebook so that a small emerging brand can tap into Spotify?
It's a great question. And the answer is absolutely. So recently we started something called Ad Studio. And actually Ad Studio was born out of the need that there were consistently smaller advertisers who wanted to advertise in local markets on Spotify, mostly promoters, like concert promoters. And we were like, oh, we need to develop something for them. And then we saw that it wasn't just them and that there were so many other smaller advertisers who wanted to be able to take advantage of our platform, our audience, and the data. And so it's definitely an opportunity for advertisers. We have a lot of DTC advertisers who are on Ad Studio. It's definitely an option.
So, you know what, that makes me think about then the ROI, right? So whenever you go into advertising and you're, you know, spending X amount of dollars, you hope to have some sort of ROI. Usually it could either be eyeballs, it could be sales.
Of course.
How is it possible to measure that?
Of course. And we know that we have to measure, we have to be able to show that we are moving product and adding to brand equity and brand lift. We have to do that. So we work with third-party measurement vendors to that end, whether it be Nielsen and Oracle to measure sales or Millward Brown to measure brand lift or in Kantar. Absolutely. We do that and are down for that. We're not just reporting impressions and click-throughs, especially on audio. What's a click-through, right? So we are happy to do that. That's not a problem, and expect to do it.
You know, because I've always found that such an interesting piece, you know, of this whole digital world, so to speak, with the measurement and how it actually converts.
Yes, and it gets even more complicated with podcasts.
Right.
Because it is not a uniform measurement for podcasts. So we're trying to be the pioneers there. And right now, the way podcast measurement is given is that the advertiser is told how many downloads the podcast received. Well, I don't know about you guys. I don't listen to my podcast that way. I stream my podcasts. So that's, you're losing all that data on me. So we want to make sure that we're giving them the, you know, the entire audience. So we see not how many people download, but how many people listen to the podcast. And more importantly, how many people listen to my ad. And because we're Spotify, we can tell them the age, the gender, all kinds of really great stuff about that advertiser, which a lot of other platforms can't do.
Well, this was so interesting and so insightful. It's like, one, I think it's eye-opening. I think this is an untapped opportunity for a lot of brands and, you know, didn't even know what tools were available to us. And your insights and thought leadership on where things could go is also just gets the creative juices flowing, you know?
I hope so. Thank you for saying that. I think the thing that we really just want people to know is that whether or not the brands are here, your audience is. I mean, my goodness, we have millennials and Gen Z en masse. Definitely women, but obviously beauty is exploding with men these days. And, you know, let us help you reach them.
Well, I may have a project for you. So
okay.
I got a good project going soon.
Coming up, you'll get to know our guest on a more personal level with a round of Hitting the Pan.
Makeup in Shanghai is the only B2B event in Shanghai with global makeup and skincare offers from ingredients, formulation, design, packaging, accessories, and full-service suppliers, along with workshops and conferences by top experts of the industry. The next edition, July 7th and 8th, 2020, at the Shanghai Exhibition Center. Whatever your project is, you can find the best contacts there. You can ask for a free badge on the website makeup-in-shanghai.com.
And now it's Hitting the Pan.
We're back, and this is one of my favorite parts of the show because we get to hit the pan with Melissa. And like you get to the bottom of your favorite beauty products, we're going to get to the bottom and what other people might not know about Melissa Finney. So to figure out who gets to ask the first question, we're going to take a spin at the salon chair. And it lands on Abby.
It's very exciting, guys.
It is exciting. So I'm thinking a lot about this question because I feel like I can go in so many directions. So you said George Michael, you're an 80s girl. You know, Spotify's all. Okay, so you know what? Give me your top five playlists that you listen to regularly on Spotify. And your top, well, it doesn't have to be five. Give me your top few podcasts and your top few music lists.
Okay, so I'm so glad you asked me this because one of the things that we say to folks is that music is a mirror, whereas social media is a filter. So on social media, you know, I am one person, but then music tells you who I really am, which is quite interesting, right? So I am an 80s and 90s baby. And so I love George Michael. I love Madonna, but I also love Sade. And I also love trap music, which is like hip hop strip club anthems. It's really ridiculous. Ooh. I could not.
What is that? More. Trap? T-R-A-P? Yeah.
Yes, trap music. So I'm all of these different people in one, right? We are multifaceted. So I mean, I listen to everything. And I also, my favorite playlist actually is my own, and it's called The Beach. And that's the other thing too. Remember I told you how we name playlists? I'm not listening to The Beach playlist when I'm on the beach. I'm listening to The Beach playlist when I want to be at the beach. Because music transports
you.
It's great. It's so great. And I, you know, my husband used to say that it's like being trapped in a W elevator because it's so lounge music.
I love that.
Yeah. I mean, I love that sort of music. And I always want to feel like I'm at a really expensive, but not that great trendy restaurant where everything is family style. I love that music that they're playing there. That's my soundtrack. If that makes sense.
All right, cool. But wait, one more. I want to know. Tell me about your
podcast.
Yeah, because that's important. What are you loving, especially now while you're home and we're all working from home? Where are you hanging on the podcast front?
You know, so I'm a huge celebrity gossip junkie. So I love comments by celebs. But during this moment when we're all at home, I think we're all kind of trying to better ourselves a lot. So I've been listening to a lot of real estate playlists. I'm a huge real estate fanatic. I love Bigger Pockets and Real Estate Guys. I love How I Built This as well. I love Without Fail. Without Fail interviews all of these amazing people and the failures they had to have to be great.
Wait, so you know what's so interesting? That what you said in the podcast realm is completely different than the music realm.
Oh, no, that's right.
That's so interesting.
Yeah, I'm completely different of a person. And every time I get my rap at the end of the year, I'm like fascinated by it. I was telling someone the other day that last year, you know, all of my posts on social media were like, so happy, this is so great. And then Spotify said that my top playlist was Break Up and Breakthrough. So clearly I was going through something.
That's so funny. That's so interesting. It's like now I want to ask my friends, like, hey, what was your Spotify like wrap up look like? You know?
Yeah, and ask them what their top artists are. And, you know, some of them might be a little bit embarrassed. You know, there's a lot more Kanye fans out there than you think.
That's amazing. You know, I have to say, you are a woman with amazing words. Like, I wrote notes like theater of the mind, music the mirror, you know, social media is a filter. Like, I'm curious, like, what's your other passion outside of like music and digital? Like what's your guilty pleasure, or just, you know, do you like to write? And I'm curious to know another facet of you.
Pleasure. I can't believe I didn't even mention this as a podcast, but it's because I prefer it live. My guilty pleasure is The Moth. I love The Moth podcast so much. If you're unfamiliar, The Moth is a storytelling competition because a good story draws people like moth to a flame. Oh, I love it so much. These people tell the best stories, and storytelling is an art, much like sales. So I just really appreciate a good storyteller. It's all that matters.
Cool. Well, thank you so much for sharing that. Melissa, do you have any final thoughts for our listeners?
I started my career at Playboy. What I loved the most about it was that they had to be innovative, right? And so there's so many things that we owe to fringe industries, you know, streaming as a whole, online payment, VHS, all of these things. And I just really love working for an innovator. And I feel that way again here. And I felt that at Zillow as well, that really, you know, took over the real estate and transformed the way that we do real estate. So I love that the most about Spotify, that we're transforming the way people are hearing the world. And that's cool.
I love that. Thank you so much for sharing. Melissa, what's the best way for our listeners to get in touch?
I think the best way actually would be LinkedIn. So I'm Melissa Finney on LinkedIn, and I'd be happy to put you in contact with the appropriate sales team, or just help you out myself and give you, you know, a bunch of beauty case studies, whatever you need to get you started.
So Melissa, thanks again for joining us on the show. It was really great to hear your thoughts on, you know, kind of the emerging trends and what are the opportunities in audio. And also just thought leadership, since you've been kind of at the forefront of, you know, content evolving in so many different industries. So we really appreciate your time. Thank you.
Thank you for having me. It was really great to be here.
And of course, it's always so much fun to do this together with a friend.
So much fun. Thank you so much.
And thanks to all of our listeners for joining us on Beauty is Your Business. We look forward to seeing you on the next show. Hugs and kisses.
This has been Beauty is Your Business, produced by Mouth Media Network. Copyright 2019. Keep in touch on Instagram and Facebook at Mouth Media Network. And find prior episodes at beautyisyourbusiness.com and wherever the best podcasts are found. Your brand message can be on this show. Email us to find out more at podcast@mouthmedianetwork.com. Thank you for listening.
This is Mouth Media Network. Amplify and connect.